know that Christmas is a time whenever people get together as family, as friends, to enjoy each other's company. And of course, very often to eat far too much. But for the people of God, Christmas time is not just about food and pleasure and parties. It's about something far more wonderful. It's about the wonder of God becoming man so that man might be reconciled to God. That's the wonder of Christmas for the children of God. Looking back in my own life, I have enjoyed Christmas with the family right from I ever remember. But I thank God from the depths of my heart that both in our church and in our home, we were always reminded of the reason for the season. And that was that God in love sent his son. And so this morning we want to just spend a little bit of time in thinking of the wonder of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And the title I give to my message this morning is The God-Man Who Came From Heaven. The God-Man Who Came From Heaven. So many passages of Holy Scripture we could turn to this morning to convey that truth. But I have chosen some verses in 1 Timothy. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I'll just read a few verses here. The writer, of course, in these verses is the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, a hater of the gospel, but was gloriously converted, could never ever come to terms with the wonder of what had happened to him when he met the Lord Jesus Christ that day on the road. And so I'll just take these few verses and read them, and then we will consider our text, which is verse 15 of this chapter. Paul says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he has judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Now this is our text. The saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. That is the text. Have we got that on the screen? I have asked Joe to put it on the screen and to leave it there as we consider this great text of Scripture together. In recent years, the saying has come to be known so very well around the world. That saying, whenever it comes to the media, fake news. So often, I don't know whether Donald Trump coined it or not, but he has used it plenty of times, down through these past 4 years, fake news. Sad to say, there is much of that around today. One finds it extremely hard to decide what is true and what is fake, what is right and what is wrong. Black has become white and white has become black. And that is a great tragedy. But here in this text, Paul makes a great assertion. He's saying here in this text, this saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. So what he is really saying here, that the words that follow are words to be trusted, words to be depended upon, words to accept, words to meditate upon, words to rejoice in. It is this saying that I want to leave with you today in the simplest way that I can find. You see, this saying spells out in many ways the Christmas story. Now, you might say the text doesn't seem to say anything about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, of course, we see that. But my dear friends, if we just meditate upon the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and not the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have completely missed the mark. If the Lord Jesus, and he was born in Bethlehem, if he had grown up and did all that he did as we read through the Gospels and then went back to heaven, sinful man would still be left in the same sinful state and would be in a position where he would be eternally separated from God. And so let us never talk about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ to people without explaining to them very carefully his purpose in coming. Our personal response to his coming into the world is of such great importance. And so in this text, and I want you to look at it, you know, whenever I was growing up, very often today, and especially in Reformed circles, we talk about expository preaching, and I believe that that is so important. But I'll let you into a secret. I grew up with textual preaching, where men stood in the pulpit, took a text, and they preached from it, but they preached from it in its context. And that's what I'm trying to do this morning. So looking at the text, I want you to see the three headings. Firstly, to note the person who came into the world. Secondly, the purpose of his coming into the world. And thirdly, our personal response to his coming into the world. Now you see those, and you will hopefully see them more clearly as we continue. Firstly, looking at the person who came into the world. Note the text. The saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance that Christ Jesus came in to the world. Christ Jesus came into the world. So we need to know something about this man. We need to know something about the name that this man bears. Let us examine, therefore, the name. Now remember this, that before he was born, the Lord spoke to Mary and said to her, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." You will call his name Jesus. Now the interesting thing, my dear friends, is this, is that that was a very common name in the time when the Lord Jesus was born. And so he was given, if you like, a common name. But of course the name, the meaning of the name, is Savior. You will call his name Jesus. And so very often, whenever people are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, they speak of Jesus, and yet very often they are not really aware of the fact that this name Jesus means Savior. And that was the name that he had as a child. That was the name that he had right throughout his time here in the earth. But he was also given a title. And that's what we need to note this morning. And the title he was given was Christ. The title is Christ. Now, what does that mean? Why was he called Jesus Christ? Sometimes people think that was a surname, but it certainly wasn't. It is his title, which means the anointed one, the Messiah, the chosen one. And we see that repeated over and over again. Please listen as I quote a few texts which brings that very clearly through. Jesus questions Peter regarding himself, and I want you to note what happens here. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But what do you say, or who do you say that I am?" Now here's Peter, always jumping in, boots and all. And Peter replies, you remember the words? "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so you see, my dear friends, when we look at that little baby, that little helpless baby in the manger there in Bethlehem, we know that his name is Jesus, which means Savior. But we know also, in the light of what is being conveyed to us in Holy Scripture, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Have you got that? Is that very clear in your mind just now? I want you to notice also, when the high priest questioned Jesus, listen to what he says. They question him and Jesus remains silent. They were rambling on and ranting on, and he just sat there in silence. The high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell me, or tell us, if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Now, why should the high priest say that? Why should he ask them that question? Well, very frankly, folk, these people have been waiting for the Christ, the Son of the living God, to come. Now he has come, and they rejected him. They said, "You tell me if you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "You have said so." That's exactly who I am. Even the demons realized who he was. In Luke 4, we read these words, "The demons also came out of many crying." Listen, the demons came out of many crying, "You are the Son of God." You see, the child in the manger is the promised Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. How we love 1 John 1 that is so beautiful when it describes the Lord Jesus. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome." You see, here we read, "In the beginning he was with God, and he was God. All things were made through him." He who created the world has come into that same world. Come into that world in its fallen state. And so we see, my dear friends, this morning in our text, this is the person who has come into the world. This child in the manger is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you see, whenever we can grasp hold of that, it will have a profound effect upon us. It will fill our hearts with a sense of awe and reverence. How sad God's people become when we see how the birth of Jesus Christ is treated in the world today. Wise men come, and what do? They fall on their knees at the manger. The shepherds come, and what do? They fall on their knees as they look at the baby that's in the manger. That's who has come into the world. And I really want to be able to convey this to you by the help of God's Holy Spirit, so that your heart might be filled with awe and wonder, with a sense of great reverence and respect to that baby that you see there in the manger. That baby is the creator of all things. That baby was with God in the beginning, and he is God's. And without him, nothing was made that was made. My dear friends, that will move our hearts to reverence, respect, and joy. That's the person, according to our text, who has come into the world. Secondly, note the text again. His purpose in coming into the world. His purpose in coming into the world. You see, the text tells you, doesn't it? This burning question must surely be in the hearts and minds of people if they stop to think at all. If he is God in human flesh, why has he come into the world? We have in our Bibles 4 Gospels that record his life story. Remember, he was only 33 when they crucified him. But in those Gospels, we have recorded many of the things that he did. But there are many things that are not recorded, which he also did. I love what John says in John chapter 21, verse 25. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Have you got it? We have just very small details of all that the Lord Jesus Christ did whilst he was in this world. John says, I suppose that the world itself couldn't contain the books that would be written if everything were recorded. That's wonderful to me. Yes, we're amazed and we're fascinated by all that he did whilst he was in this earth. What is recorded in the Gospels? But we need to know exactly why he came. And here we have the answer. The saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? Read it. To save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. This was his mission. Right from the beginning. This was God's plan. Right from eternity past, that the second person of the Holy Trinity would come into the world to save sinners. Matthew 1, 20 and 21, we read, but as he, that's Joseph, considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. There we have the virgin birth. She will bear a son. And you will call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Listen again to Jesus. In Matthew 20, 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Again, using his words in Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost. Oh, there's so many texts that I would love to share. Let me share just another couple. Romans 5 and 8, we read these words. But God showed his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Listen to the four living creatures and the 24 elders in the book of the Revelation as they praise them. Listen to the words. And they sung a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and your blood has ransomed people, has ransomed people for God from every tribe, from every language, from every people, and from every nation. Oh, my dear friends, have any doubt in her mind this morning as to why he came? Is our hearts not particularly heavy whenever we think of what is happening in our world today? As we listen to men and to women preach, as we hear them talk about the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world to make you healthy, to make you wealthy, to save you from troubles and struggles, to save you from sicknesses, and on and on and on it goes. Oh, my dear friends, that should break our hearts. It should, because it completely, utterly misses the mark as to why the Lord Jesus Christ has come. Sadly, this great gospel truth is almost lost in today's world. The world and even the church has reduced him to a great humanitarian who has come to relieve the trials and troubles and stresses that we go through in this world. And that's a million miles away from the gospel. They said the Lord has come to make life much more bearable, and that in a sense is true, but it is not the root truth. He came to save people from eternal damnation. Let me tell you, if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, you are condemned already according to the words of Jesus. You might say to him, I would like this Jesus who will give me health, who will give me wealth, who will take away my problems, who will take away my sicknesses. My dear friends, if he is to do all of that, you will still die and face God. Remember John 3:16, 16 to 18. Sometimes we just quote 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now listen to verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved through him. Now look at verse 18. Or listen to verse 18. Listen carefully to it. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he does not believe in the name of the only Son of God. Every soul here in this congregation, every soul in this location of Clendon and South Auckland, and Auckland as a whole, New Zealand as a whole, and the world as a whole, has a never-dying soul, has a never-dying soul that will either be lost or saved for all eternity. Oh, my dear friends, if we think that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world just to give us our best life now, that's pathetic. Because we'll be in eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And his purpose for coming was that he might save sinners. This is a trustworthy saying and deserves full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's come to seek and to save the lost. That's his own words. Came to seek and to save sinners from eternal hell. You see why the Apostle Paul is saying here in this text, this saying is trustworthy, deserves full acceptance. So we have seen in the text who it is that came into the world. We have seen in the text the purpose for his coming into the world. This brings us to our last point. Our personal response to his coming into the world. Please look at the text in its fullness now. Saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now listen to Paul's testimony, of whom I am the foremost. I like the old King James Version, of whom I am chief, of whom I am foremost. He says he came to save sinners, and I am the foremost of sinners. Oh yes, it is great to know who he is, and I trust you do. It's wonderful to know why he came, and I hope you understand that, to save sinners. But my dear friends, the question I must ask you this morning is what is your response, a personal response to his coming? That is vitally important to you. What is your personal response to his coming? This head knowledge is not enough. You know what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Have you got that? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, on that day many shall say to me, my dear friends, that goes through you like a sword. Many shall say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not cast out demons in your name? And did we not do many works, mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. My dear friends, did you ever think about that? Those words of Jesus? When he said people will come and they will want to get into heaven. They'll want to join that great multitude that no man can number. And Jesus will say, depart from me, you cursed. And they will plead with him and say, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do many works in your name? Surely that's enough to get them to heaven. No. But whilst they took the name of Jesus upon their lips, they didn't know him as the Savior of their souls. And that's a great danger, even in Christian circles. These are the words of one of the most religious, proud Pharisees that ever lived. Saul of Tarsus. This is what he says in his testimony. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strict party of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. I was circumcised the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, I was blameless. That's a pretty good pedigree if you want to think of religious people. Yet here in this text, he calls himself the chief of sinners, the foremost sinner. As I thought about this text, I would thought that many people would vie for that title and say, Paul, I don't think it was you, I think it was me. And another will say, I don't think it was you, I think it was me. That's when men and women come to realize and understand why Christ came and their response to his coming. This is Paul's response to the Savior of sinners. I am the chief. And can I say this, my dear friends, this morning? Listen carefully, that this is always the response when one comes face to face with the one who came into the world to save sinners. Only when people come to terms with their own sinfulness and Christ's purpose in coming to save them, do they understand the Christmas message and the Easter message? Only then do they understand. I grew up in a church in which very often people were asked to stand up and give their testimony. They would, especially at our evening services, which were gospel services, they would invite somebody to the pulpit and ask them to give their testimony. And in that testimony, I can hear it again and again and again, and one term that was used again and again, which I will never forget. They start by saying, I want to give a testimony to the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give a testimony to the saving and keeping power of our Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, are you able to give a testimony like that? Whether it be a written testimony or a verbal testimony. When somebody asks you to go up and give your testimony, can you clearly, precisely declare this great truth? Christ died for my sin according to the scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scripture. There was a day in my life. There was a time in my life. There was a period in my life when I went through such dreadful mental agony as I come to realize I was a deep-dyed sinner on my way to a lost eternity. There is no hope for me. And then the blessed Holy Spirit came and showed me Christ. And I flew to the foot of the old rugged cross by faith. There I embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You know, my dear friends, I've heard people term that today as street preaching. I don't care what they call it. It's the Word of God. And I challenge everyone in this congregation this morning, whether you profess to be a Christian or not, can you give a testimony to the saving and the keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you able to declare without fear or favor that he died for you? And do you take your place with the Apostle Paul as the chief of sinners? Because there is none righteous, no, not one. There are not two or three or four or five categories of sinners. There's only one. That's all. Have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm almost finished, but let me read just, and I wanted to do this at the end of my sermon. Jesus, as he tells this story, and I believe it wasn't a parable, I believe it was a story. You can debate that with me if you like, but listen to what he says. Well, I'm thinking about the rich man and Lazarus. And it says the rich man died, and a beggar died firstly, and he was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Now there's the two places. The poor man died not because he was poor, was he carried into heaven, but because of his relationship with God, because he cried, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The rich man died and went to hell, not because he was rich, because he spurned the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would not recognize that he was a sinner in need of a Savior. And then Jesus tells this other story of the two men who went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, praying thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice every week. I give tithes of all I get. Pretty boastful man, isn't he? Saying, Lord, look at me, am I wonderful? He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, but the tax collector, verse 12 says, the tax collector says, I give tithes of all I possess. And the tax collector, standing rather far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven. One is a religious Pharisee who's telling God how good he is. This old tax collector, and I believe Jesus had in mind someone here. And he says the tax collector wouldn't lift up his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, you know what he said? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, my dear friends, that's where we must come. We must come to realize our wretchedness, our sinfulness, the hopeless, helpless state that we're in. And then we must come to understand who it was that came from heaven. The eternal Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ. Understand why he came. He came to save sinners. And what we do as individuals is we come and examine ourselves and say, that means me. We come as a sinner to Jesus. Hymn writer says, I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. Why? Because he realized the wretchedness of his own soul. I know that people hate that today. And I am aware that in many parts of the world, and maybe not very far from today, people will say that is hate speech. We can't call people horrible sinners. We all are, my dear friends, the preacher included. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. I must close. You see our text. Please look at it again as I close. This is from the great Apostle Paul, who was this religious Pharisee who was saved by the grace of God. He met the Lord Jesus in the Damascus Road and his life was dramatically transformed. And this is what he says. His saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Can you identify with Paul in every detail there? If you can, my dear friends, it's coming up to Christmas time, and many of you are going to meet with your family and friends who are not Christians. Are you going to tell them that? Are you going to sit down after lunch in a soft seat and say to them, I love Christmas, and let me tell you why? Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save me, a sinner. And he can save you. Let's pray. Father, we bow to thank you for your word. Rejoice in the wonder of the text. Father, we as human beings can burn this into people's souls. We can't burn it into the heart of our children, only you can. So we pray that the blessed Holy Spirit will burn this text into our souls, that each one of us will know who he is, why he came, and that we will be able to testify that he came to save me, the chief of sinners. Bless your word, Lord. To all our hearts again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen.